This is a sporting discussion talking sports of all sorts. I'm AJ Mithen, joined for episode 2 of 2020 by the wonderful Andrew Donison.
Wonderful.
Wonderful. How's things?
Things are wonderful. As Art Alexakis said, everything is wonderful now.
Wow, 90s reference to start with.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
This week we wing it because we prepared very poorly, but it's still going to be great. We got a lot of feedback from the listeners about your most random, obtuse sporting memories that pop into your head from time to time.
And I had someone have the same random memory pop into their mind as one of mine. So that's mildly concerning for the person involved.
So we'll be talking about that. We got a lot of feedback through from our Twitter, Andrew, which is at ASD_radio or facebook.com/asportingdiscussion. Join the group there, get in on the chat. Shall we get into it?
Yes, let's.
Let's commence.
What are we going to talk about first? Can I call an audible?
Yes. Do you even know what that means?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sort of. Yeah. Do you like Novak Djokovic?
5 out of 10.
Why? Do you like Roger Federer?
7 out of 10.
Do you like Rafael Nadal?
4 out of 10.
Do you like Nick Kyrgios?
10 out of 10. Yeah, you know that, baby. Kyrgios is the greatest.
Yeah, I threw that in just because I knew. Now, why do you not like Novak Djokovic?
It's not that I don't like. I'm ambivalent.
You're ambivalent.
He's incredibly poorly behaved, but seems to get away with it. Very good at tennis, but it's not sexy tennis. He wins and wins and wins and wins and wins, but it's not sexy to me.
Okay.
Probably sexy to your tennis purists. He hired a PR company to help improve his image too, didn't he? Because I don't like him for that.
Oh, you don't like him for trying to manufacture a more likable personality.
Manufacture being the key word.
Yeah.
He's still the same Novak Djokovic he always was, but now he just has a company trying to spin it for him.
So he's actually come out a couple of times in recent times, but there was one in the last few days where he said that. So I've read a lot of stuff suggesting that I'm disliked, but I really don't have that impression, especially off court. Even if that was true, why would I want to add fuel to the fire? I don't want to stir up negative emotions, hatred, and anger. I have no ill feelings for people who don't support me. Having said that, I'm not proud of my occasional reactions on the court as my passion gets the better of my self-control at times.
Oh, he's nailing the talking points.
Yeah.
That's fair. So, I've written things like that for people in the past, Andrew.
So he's previously come out and said, I don't know why people don't like me. I want them to, and I don't know why they don't. Mm. And now he's sort of slightly changing that to, oh, I don't care that people don't like me.
Yeah, man, I don't care. I don't care what you think, man. But I'm spending a lot of money trying to get people to think well of me.
Yeah, so I'm really curious. It was a tweet of his where he had written out his little statement. I was really interested this morning to read it, and I don't know. I like him. I think he's a very good tennis player. I think it's going to be extremely amusing if he continues to win Grand Slams and overtakes Roger.
He's probably going to overtake Federer's record,
which will be hilarious for the tennis purists.
We're going off the top of my head here, so we might need corrections from our researchers next week. I think he's on 18.
I don't think he's on
Federer's.
He's closing in.
Yeah.
Whilst you riff on that, let me do the googling to find it.
Well, but I know he's won 8 Australian Opens, and I think eight and zero. He's been in 16 Australian Opens, and he's won 8 of them.
That's impressive.
So he's a 50-50 shot to win a Grand Slam every time he's in it. That's not too bad, is it?
Yeah, what is
it? You'd like those odds when you're in Australia, yeah.
So
that's a lot of money too, Andrew.
Oh,
that's a lot of money.
Wow. Yeah, especially these days.
The better part of $20 million.
You look at Pete Sampras.
Pathetic Australian dollars.
Pete Sampras won 14 majors.
Yep.
And I don't know what he... he wouldn't have won anywhere near as much money as the modern day ones. Now, there was a time when Federer was looking to go streets ahead, but then remember the year that like Federer and Nadal both started winning and Nadal won a couple of extras.
So yeah, Nadal took a few off Federer that people were surprised with.
Yeah, so yes. Federer's won 20, Nadal's won 19, and Novak has won 17.
17. All right. So yeah.
I want him to win.
He's going to catch Federer by probably the end of next year.
Hopefully.
Because we've spoken about this before on a sporting discussion. We're not going to delve too deeply into tennis because obviously I didn't bring all my
tennis-related
know-how to today's recording. But I think he'll catch him next year. There's no good young kids.
So Zverev, Thiem, Kyrgios, they've not come through like they were meant to.
They need the top three to go away so they can just become the top three by default.
Yeah. So, but I want to put it out to the ASD listening audience.
ASD community.
The community, is that what it's called?
Yeah, PR company we hired told me to say that.
Yeah, do you like Novak Djokovic? Do you not like Novak Djokovic? Is there someone who you just can't warm to in the sporting...
Doesn't have to be a reason for it. You just...
Oh, God, no. Yeah. No.
Actually, it's better if there isn't a reason for it.
Yeah. So, fire away. AJ, what's the first thing that we're meant to talk about today before I got distracted by, like I do with shiny objects?
Well, we're going to get into our random sporting memories, but we can also talk about athletes telling it how it is. Your call.
Athletes telling it how it is because I have a piece of audio to play. Let me just bring that up and hopefully this will work. This is from the weekend just gone and it is from the AFLW. It is Collingwood defender Stacey Livingston being interviewed post Collingwood's victory against Carlton.
One of the toughest jobs in the game, the matchup against Taylor Harris. You played it perfectly. How do you personally prepare for such a tough matchup?
This is year four, so I'd like to know that I'd like to think that I know how to play on her already. But you just got to stop her in the air. That's her game. And if you can do that, she's useless.
Well, you did it brilliantly today, so well done and enjoy the win.
Thanks.
That was the interview with, I think it was Georgie Parker, who former hockey player, but also former Collingwood teammate of Stacey Livingston.
Yeah, former Olympic hockey player.
And asking the question of, you know, how do you prepare to play against someone like Taylor Harris? And yes. I quite liked how Livingston said, well, this is year four, so I'd like to think that I know how to play her already.
Mm-hmm.
But then the things got interesting. She called her useless. She said she was useless.
Andrew, settle down. Don't be like that. You know.
There was
she
a
didn't
quote.
Call places.
I know.
She said she is useless if you beat her in the air.
Yes.
Yes.
So now you wanted to talk about that in a athlete's telling it how it is perspective.
But just quickly, I did a little bit of digging into the history of this contest.
Ah, okay.
Because for Livingston to say that, she's obviously got a lot of pent-up rage about getting toweled up by Taylor Harris three times before this
or
one.
Or she's learnt over the years how to play against her. Yeah,
she has a coach now who can help her structure and set up and
bring
players across to help. But anyway, we're talking tactics and that's not all we do here on a sporting discussion.
So hit me with your numbers.
In total, and this includes when Taylor Harris was playing for Brisbane in AFL Season 1, it's Taylor Harris has 36 disposals, 14 marks, and has kicked 3 goals, 5 on Livingston. Livingston has had 40 disposals and taken 7 marks. It sounds pretty even.
So Livingston's had more possessions as the defender than the forward has.
Yeah, Harris has had twice as many marks.
Okay,
yeah. But that makes sense because...
Well, she's...
There's not many drop-off defenders in AFLW.
Yep.
They all tend to go one-on-one. Hasn't hit the scoreboard, Livingston, but you don't expect that either because she's a defender. It's 3-1, the record, Harris's team's way. So that win on Sunday, was it? Whenever it was.
Was the one.
Was the one win. So obviously there's some pent-up, you know what, I bloody gotcha, and I'm pretty happy with myself, and I loved it. I loved it, loved it, loved it. I'm not sure Georgie Parker quite twigged to what she had when she said that or if she just carried on. I thought she handled it pretty well just to let it run instead
You
can't say that. Or like, if it was Lingy with someone on the men's side. Oh, you can't say that. How about that? Oh, we're all just here joking. But I love it. She meant every bloody word of it.
Of course.
It was pure. It was raw. And I loved it.
So Anthony Colangelo for the Age, he went and did some digging in champion data. So Taylor Harris, the premier contested marking machine of the AFLW, having taken 44 marks across 21 matches. The next is Richmond and also Harris's former teammate at Brisbane, Serena Frederick, with 41, and then Melbourne's Tegan Cunningham, 28, but she's played one less season. So 44 marks across 21 matches. She's the clear leader there.
The clear leader for marking the competition, yeah.
But when the ball hits the ground inside 50, this is what Stacey Livingston was talking about. Taylor Harris is ranked 22nd out of the AFLW's top 25 forwards for ground balls won inside 50.
Who cares, though? That doesn't matter.
But no, but that's exactly what Stacey Livingston was saying.
Yeah.
She's saying she'll mark it, but if she doesn't mark it, she's useless when the ball gets to the ground. So not only is she sort of saying, ha-ha, I gotcha, she's actually right.
Let me stand up for the tall forwards union here.
Ah, well, there's the other thing.
If you are beaten in the air, you very, very rarely get the chance to go back and get the ball on the ground. You're either sprawled all over the place with three defenders on top of you,
yep,
or you've overshot the ball by a mile because you've had your arms chopped or something like that. And there's a whole mosquito fleet of little players who have been taught since they started playing football to get around the tall defenders and feed off any scraps that come from drop marks, contests or anything like that. So to me, a stat like that means absolutely nothing because that's not the nature of tall forward play.
And then so for Carlton, Darcy Vessio is ranked number one. So Taylor exactly. Harris crashed the pack.
The ball bring comes down. Press Barkas.
Yeah.
Vessio, you name it, they get the ball and whisk it away.
But then she's had 53 shots at goal since 2017, a total of 34 from set shots, 19 from general play. So she can get the ball in general play.
Yeah.
So, look, everyone's right.
I blame the delivery for that. That's kicks going over your head or at your feet or something like that.
Yeah, regardless, though, I'm with you on... Tell it how it is.
Yeah, athletes telling it how it is. Sorry, we've gone off track with actual sports talk. Yes.
Because, so, I mean, I remember the Late Show back in the early 90s and they did their like finishing school for footballers and Tim Watson, he went from, one week at a time, rah, rah, rah. And then after that, Jason Stevens did the interview. So, you were pretty good this week. Good. Mate, I was shit hot. In fact, I've been bloody great the last few weeks.
And that should happen all the time. All the time. I want to... One thing... Oh, can I sacred cow it?
Of course you can.
I've talked about this quite a bit. I want Ash Barty to get a bit more me. I've done this and I'm bloody good and I'm really happy about it.
Okay.
All of her interviews are, the team's done a great job and I'm really happy and we're good and we've done really well. No, you did it, Ash. You played the tennis. You won the thing. You're allowed to say, you know what? I'm pretty bloody happy with what I've just done.
But also, if she doesn't want to, that's fine.
That chump at the other side of the court was rubbish and mop the floor with them.
But it's okay.
I'm not expecting that. I'll take baby steps. Yeah.
But the thing is, it's okay to not do that as well.
Yeah, I know. But it's boring as batshit to do that.
Yeah.
Aussie players. It's an Australian thing to deflect personal. Glory.
Oh, yeah. And also, if the major sporting codes, they media train them out of that.
They train any personality out of it whatsoever.
Yeah.
For reasons I don't understand, because they're worried the media is going to say something mean. I mean, so what?
Yeah.
Who cares? Robbo wrote an article today about Katie Brennan that's just going to wash straight over, I reckon. It's just a whole bunch of...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What was it? Like she hasn't lived up to expectations since going into the midfield for Richmond.
And if she bumped into you in the cafe, you wouldn't know who she was.
But also, you're right, though. She'll read that and go,
whatever.
Like, I don't
you
think...
You can cram it, Robert. Yeah.
But, yeah, players go nuts. Do whatever you want. And then whatever the reaction is from a Robbo or from idiots like us, don't worry about it.
Yeah, who cares? We don't matter.
And the thing is, I reckon the players, they don't care, but it's
Taylor
about
Harris
the club.
Cared. Taylor Harris cared about that one.
Oh, no, she just responded.
She just responded saying, let's bring it on if it happens again.
Yeah,
basically I'm paraphrasing. But, yes, I don't like how buttoned down media managers make their Australian sports stars, so, stars, athletes, anyone. It's all, it's also managed and bullshit, and every, you can predict every single interview for every single sport pretty much. And so that's why when something like what Livingston said comes up, which is raw and open and honest and fantastic, everyone shits themselves.
Yeah. It's like, oh, hang on. You can't say that. Oh, we're going to have three articles in the paper tomorrow, yeah, that we're going to need to defend.
Way back, Jason Ackermanis used to say what he felt like in interviews. He was fantastic as well, but man, he got stomped on real quick.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then he lost his mind, but that's all right. But that's not the point, Andrew.
No. So, I'm with you. I think get rid of the vanilla comments. There's nothing wrong with an article being written about someone making an outrageous statement.
No, like this is what builds rivalries. This is what generates interest in things. This is, no one wants to go through the rote, oh yeah, two teams going at it, we both had a real crack, you know, we were all right today, you know, might have been off day for our opponent, but you know, they'll come back better than ever, and we'll try to stick to our processes, and one game at a time, mate.
Thank you, random AFL player.
I could have been any sport.
Well, I was going to say, Lance Franklin kicked 13
except
goals.
Except for baseball, they tell it how it is. I love baseball. Is
that Lance Franklin kicked 13 goals? And deflected every bit of compliments in the post match. I wouldn't have been able to do it without the boys in the midfield getting the ball down. Mate, you just kick 13.
Yeah. It's really craps me off. It's such an Australian thing. If you do something great, you freaking grab it with both hands and say, I bloody did this.
That's it. It's high. It's miles in the air. Hughes is coming around. And so it's high. It's a wonderful catch. That's the greatest catch. Oh, unbelievable. Stephen Waugh running backwards, almost colliding with Hughes down there and the side screen. What a catch.
Probably the best outfield catch you've ever seen. Running with the ball. He caught it easily in the end. He kept his eye on the ball.
AJ, I did not play that just because we wanted to reminisce about Steve Waugh's classic catch behind the sight screen.
Oh, was that game?
Were you?
That was right in front of me.
Right
in front of me. Seriously, that catch was right in front of me.
There you go.
It was incredible.
So that was Roger Harper being caught by Steve Waugh. And I remember because it was, as you said, you were there. It was at the MCG. And back in those days, the games weren't shown live on TV into the broadcast state. I'm pretty sure it was MCG, and this is right.
It was, yes.
And so I recorded the highlights, but for some reason I got
one hour with Richie at about 11:30 p.m.
Yes, but I got the timing wrong on it, and so my tape actually commenced as Craig McDermott was running into bowl. So I never knew if there was any commentary about McDermott coming in or about Roger Harper hitting the ball. I just got it cut in with the Tony Gregg, oh, it's high, it's miles in the air, Hughes is coming around, and, oh, it's a water catch, that's the greatest, the greatest catch. And for some reason...
Do you need a minute?
No, I... That commentary just pops into my head every now and then, and I don't know why, but it, like, just randomly, it's not necessarily when I'm watching sport, it's just there. But just, I know
tough,
that commentary.
Tough day at work, tough, you need some inspiration.
Yeah. So, random sporting
random
moments that
obscure,
just...
obtuse, out-of-the-box sporting memories. We got quite a few on the old Twitter at @ASD_radio and the facebook.com/a sporting discussion. Let's get into a few.
Yeah, I was going to say, so these are things that you just, for some reason, hold on to, and at either at 3 a.m. when you're trying to get back to sleep, it just pops into your head.
Yeah.
Or you're in a conversation and you're talking about this and blah, 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 and then you go, oh, what about when? And then you rattle off the commentary of the Steve Waugh catch.
And everyone on the train goes, okay, and shuffles away half a metre. I'm going to start
You start.
This
All right.
This one came on Twitter and it's from me at.
As in you?
At Le Tigre Watteau.
Ah, okay.
Male, female, other, who knows?
Yep.
Imran Khan walked past me after fielding and ruffled my hair. Now, I'm not sure that's.
So was Imran Khan watching at Le Tigre Watteau play cricket play or cricket? Was at Le Tigre Watteau watching Imran Khan?
I don't know if Le Tigre Watteau was fielding or if Imran Khan was fielding, but the point is that he walked past him after that happened and ruffled his hair.
Oh.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good interaction with an international cricketer.
Yeah. And like also, a certain Australian test cricketer who told me to, to FO when I asked him for an autograph when I was about 13 years old. That's his right.
That is his right.
That is his right to tell
13-year-old
beautiful, doe-eyed kids holding up their mini cricket bat, can you sign my bat, Mr. X?
I knew that story, which is why I threw it out there. So
that's
thank
not
you.
My. That's not my.
That's not your random sporting.
No, that's just me laying bare some pain.
So yeah. I was going to say Shane Webster. He has the same memory as me. The Steve Waugh behind the sight screen catch. Tony Gregg's commentary of the catch is a thing of beauty. It pops into my head whenever I see a great outfield catch on TV. Me too. Oh, except I then do the commentary.
Is that your burner account? We had Scott Pride saying Mark Riddell jumping the fence in the gong to celebrate his own try. Surely gets a mention.
Yes.
That was really good, Mark Riddell playing for St. George Illawarra in the NRL.
So, yeah, he scored the try, jumped the fence, sat down, crossed his leg and applauded himself.
The front row and applauded himself. That was really good. We might put that video up on the socials. That was really funny. Here's a good random. Obscure one from Hamish Wood at Raider H-Bomb. Lincoln Withers sliding through the line versus South Sydney and Adam McDougall sending Lincoln's nose to his ear with a disgusting high shot. Withers later came back on after getting it taped back to its rightful place in between his eyes, leading the Raiders to victory.
So you like it because it's the Canberra Raiders.
I like it because it's so obscure but so detailed.
Yes. getting it taped back.
That's
to its
exactly what
position.
We were looking for. Plus, yes, that line, getting it taped back into its rightful place between his eyes, is a great line.
I love it. Very good. I've got one. Talks about a comeback from an injury as well. Dom Malisi. Shane Stevenson, the Hawthorn footballer, being sent on against Sydney at Waverley with a bung ankle and somehow still kicking a goal. Turned out the ankle was broken. Now, I was at that game. He wasn't just standing in the goal square. He was basically leaning against the goalpost.
Yeah, because there's broken and then there's what his ankle was. Broken.
Yeah, and they just needed someone on the ground. The ball got into the goal square because his opponent went, bugger you.
See ya.
Ran off.
And
the ball got to the goal square. He's just like hobbled out to it and socking it over the line and then hopped back to the goalpost.
Oh, now he can't walk. All right. Yeah. Dimas Smeaton at Damien Smeaton. This is a ripper. I played one-on-one against Ray Borner at halftime of a Canberra Gunners match when I was about 12.
Oh, wow.
Didn't give us the score, Dimmer, but thanks. That's a beauty. I like that one.
Doesn't matter what the score is. I'm assuming that he took Borner to task.
Oh, yeah.
That's so good. So good.
When people say took them to task, that always makes me giggle.
Chris Fraser referenced one that pops into his mind often, the malice in the palace, because it itself was quite random. Extreme, but random. Now, I didn't know what the malice in the palace was.
I got it wrong. I thought it was Chicago Bulls versus Detroit Pistons, Bill Laimbeer. Jordan Rules style, but I was completely wrong.
No, it was the Indiana Pacers against the Detroit Pistons in November 2004. The Pacers lead in 97-82, less than a minute left in the game. Pistons center Ben Wallace attempted a layup shot, but was fouled hard from behind by Pacers small forward Ron Artest, now known as Meta World Peace, one of the best names in sport. A furious Wallace shoved Artest, the benches emptied, a fight broke out on the court between players of both teams. After the fight was broken up, Artest was lying on the scorer's table to cool himself down for some reason, and a fan threw a drink from the stands at him. He immediately charged after the fan, sparking a massive brawl between players and spectators that stretched from the seats down to the court and lasted several minutes. After the game, the NBA suspended 9 players for a total of 146 games, leading the players losing $11 million in salary. Five players were charged with assault and eventually sentenced to a year of probation and community service.
Wow.
Five fans faced criminal charges and were banned from attending Pistons home games for life.
Sheesh.
It is. It's other not funny, that, but my that, Lord, it's funny.
Other than that, everything was all right.
Yeah.
Wow. That's pretty full on. That's, extreme that's but random, thing. As Chris says. Wow, that's pretty full on. That's a thing.
All right. God, give me one that's not quite as violent.
Yeah, let's and for that, we will turn to Diane Gray. Thank you, Diane. Mel Meninga's Kangaroos try in 1990. The commentary going, what a try, what a try, what a try. That was a length of the field effort, I believe, for the Australian Kangaroos to win a test against England.
Okay.
Ricky Stewart involved deeply there as well. Mel Meninga finished it off. That's a pretty good try. We might look for that on... We might post that up as well for those who love the sporting highlights.
Isn't it interesting that a lot of these are, or some, are about the commentary, the actual how it's called?
Well, so, that's what sticks, isn't it?
Yeah. Norman May. That's gold, gold, gold for Australia. I've got no idea what he was calling, but I know that.
I'm sure it was a gold medal performance.
Yes. In a similar vein, Richard Volker. Every time Jeff Thompson bowled, even if he didn't know where it was going, just run up and go wang. And I'm pretty sure that's a quote from Thompson himself.
Yeah, that's right.
They said, I just run up and go wang.
It's probably the first genuine quick for Australia in the TV era. Am I right there?
Could be.
Just trying to quickly think if I've got that.
I do know that he was involved in a fastest bowling competition. There was a bunch of others. I don't know who they were, but it was televised. He was the only one smart enough to realise that if you bowled a full toss, then it would be recorded faster. And all these other blokes are trying to hit the top of off stump, and he's come in, and his full bunger has recorded 7 kilometres an hour faster than everyone else. And I think they were the last time he bothered, maybe try and make this one hit the pitch.
Yeah, I never saw him live, but on the videos he looks pretty sharp. It's a good action, good slingy action.
Yes, yeah.
Which would be the wang.
The wang.
Talking about there.
All right, give us one more.
Last one from Twitter, at bereft of the dial, which I quite like. The Friday night music party. Winston Griffiths, this one's from the States, from Massachusetts.
Okay.
A sporting discussion is worldwide, as we know. Winston Griffiths hitting the post for the New England Revolution in a sold-out MLS Cup final in 2002. At the then new Gillette Stadium, which is in Foxborough, Massachusetts, LA Galaxy ended up winning 1-0. And that was the first of 5 MLS Cup losses for the Revolution. And 3 of those were to Los Angeles Galaxy.
That's a
painful memory.
So, yeah, I was going to say, I suspect that at Bereft of the Dial may well be a Revolution fan and just wakes up in a sweat thinking about Winston Griffiths, who could have... I don't know if Winston Griffiths was shooting when they were 1-0 down or when it was nothing, but
it doesn't matter. He hit the post.
Yeah. And it could have been so much more glory for the Revolution. What a great name.
And speaking of which, mine is a similar one.
Okay.
Mine is very random.
Right. But it's something that just pops into your mind.
It pops into my mind every now and again.
The 3 AM feed.
It's the 1990...
For your daughter, not for you.
For my daughter, yeah. It's the 1999 FIFA Under-17 World Cup.
Oh, lordy.
Final, which was held in New Zealand.
Okay.
In front of about 25,000 people, and it was Australia versus Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
And the game was 0-0.
Yep.
And during extra time, which was golden goal at the time, Joe DiOrio, who was the striker for Australia, beat the keeper with his shot. Hit the right-hand post, the ball rolled along the goal line, hit the left-hand post, and then came out.
Oh, no. And it, golden goal, extra time, so that would have been it. That would have been game that over, Australia wins.
Australia are under-17 World Cup champions.
I'm going to suggest that Brazil went down the other end and scored?
No. Ooh. They went through to penalties and it went 8-7 and Brazil won 8-7 on penalties. It's an absolute heartbreaker of a game for that generation of, I think Jess Van Stratten was the goalkeeper and all that at the time. But that moment, Joe DiOrio hitting the post, it's probably only me and him.
But you remember the ball.
Who think about that one.
Travelling along the goal
rolling
line.
Rolling along the goal line and then coming out. And just crazy. An unbelievable moment for Australian football. And there's been quite a few of them. But that, how random is that? The under-17.
Under-17, 1999.
The World Cup final.
But of course you do. Of course
you remember. Oh, yeah. That's what being a sports idiot's all about.
Thank you to everybody who got involved with their most random sports memory. I love reliving those sort of things. So, yes, thank you. And we'll make sure we put our next question out on social media at ASD_radio and Facebook / a sporting discussion.
Yes, and don't forget also, we're going to fire up the old voice bite machine again.
Oh, you love your voice bite.
We try. It actually is really good and really useful if we want to fill a couple of minutes with other people talking instead of us. We'll put the link to VoiceBite. You do have to log in as a Twitter user or as a Facebook user, but you can do that and then give us, I think you get about 30 seconds to hold forth on either the topic of your choice or your answer to the big question for the week. So make sure you hit the record button when you see us post it on Facebook or Twitter.
AJ, I want to throw a couple of things at you that I saw in the news this week, and I don't know whether you have seen them.
I've been pretty tired.
So the first one is it's not good.
Oh,
it was the England Boxing Youth Championships. Where?
Oh yeah, sorry, I'm all over the England Boxing Youth Championships. You clown.
Yeah.
I'm sure everyone is. We could just skip this one. Everyone knows what you're about to say.
This is why I'm bringing it up, because I just got an inkling that you might have missed it. Four people were hospitalised after a wild brawl erupted during the championships.
At the boxing. Oh, never.
I know. All remaining events in the three-day event were cancelled after a group of men became embroiled.
Three-day event?
Yeah, in a disgusting fight near the spectators' seating area.
Disgusting fight.
Dozens of chairs were thrown.
Sorry, I hope no one... You're not about to tell me someone died, because this is really funny.
Dozens of chairs were thrown as teenage competitors, both male and female, were forced to evacuate the area, fearing for their safety and well-being. Sooks,
you're supposed to be fighters.
The footage showed adults screaming at one another in the carnage, one man igniting a fire extinguisher in the hope of stopping the brawl. Another video showed a man...
No, mate, it's a fire extinguisher, not a fight extinguisher. Hey!
Another video showed a man with blood smeared over his face wielding an axe. Now, what sort of morons go to a junior sporting contest, whether it's boxing or not, start a fight that needs to be attempted to be stopped by a fire extinguisher, but it also involves someone wielding
Do you know what the problem was? They didn't put their little sandwich board sign up saying, hey, parents, respect this is not a world title fight. Behave yourselves, respect the fight game, and look what happens. Discipline out the window.
I just couldn't believe it. So I just...
People that go
to sporting events, don't be morons. Like, we saw chair throwing at the darts at Etihad Stadium.
Come on, just a good clean bloodbath between parents.
Yeah, you know, just some parents trying to have a bit of fun on a Friday night. Come on.
Just larrikins blowing off steam, mate.
Yeah. So basically, don't be an idiot when you go to a sporting event, let alone a children's sporting event.
I did not expect that.
Well.
That's why this is without notice.
Without notice. Here's another on a similar vein.
Oh, good.
If you are participating in sport, don't do things like this.
Ooh.
Footballer gets 5-year ban for biting rival on the penis. ridiculous.
Wow.
In a post-match fight, an amateur footballer was suspended for biting one of his opponents below the belt during a post-match fight.
Oh, post-match.
Post-match. Second division game between Turville and Sawtrich.
So it can't be sanctioned.
No, so in eastern France, in a local league.
That's how they say, well played to each other in eastern France.
A player from each side started fighting. Another player joined in, apparently trying to separate them. But one of the players then responded by biting the peacemaker's penis.
Wow.
Why is that the thing that comes into your mind? So you're having a blue with someone. Someone tries to stop it and you just go bite them off the knob. So
I'll have none of that. I'm coming in to chomp on you, dude.
It's not funny though because dead stitches.
Dead stitches. Oh, man.
Take 4 days off work. The events were in the stadium.
Are you all right? So let me try to interpret that. 10 stitches, 4 weeks off work.
It was 4 days off work.
4 days off work.
There was an altercation in the car park.
Afterwards.
After the match.
I would expect so.
Not on the ground, not when they're shaking hands.
In the car park. Oh, so that fight was after the game in the car park.
Yeah. The blame was more or less shared, apparently.
Wait a minute. Yeah. If there's only one dude that got bitten, then there's probably some fairly hefty blame to go to one person at least.
So,
oh, man. We need to video this stuff.
I wish everyone could see you were overtaken
by mirth.
The case was quite original, the disciplinary committee said. So they called an expert witness before deciding to suspend the player for 5 years.
What?
I don't know what sort of expert witness.
Wow.
Maybe Peter Philandia.
John Bobber. The
former AFL player who bit someone's testicle.
Yeah, that's a testicle, not a dude. What's he an expert in? That's fairly amazing.
Okay, there's my turn.
You're all right?
I'm really looking forward to listening back to that to see just how high-pitched my voice got as I was fighting back tears of laughter.
You weren't fighting him back.
No.
Bit you right on the dude.
Okay, so moral of those stories. Yes. When you go to a sporting event, don't start a fight. If you are in a sporting event, don't start a fight.
If you find yourself in a fight, maybe keep it above the waist.
Well, especially if someone's trying to come in and separate you and your fellow fighter.
That's the rule of three. If someone comes in as the third one.
Bite him on the dude.
Open season. Bite him on the dude.
Oh, so what have you got for me?
It's 5 years, but his teammates will love him for the rest of the
What have you got for me, AJ?
That was facetious, everybody. I've got one that's moderately serious. Can you handle it?
Yep.
All right. And unfortunately, it's about horse racing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You know the All-Star Mile?
I do.
That is the race where there are 15 contestants, as in horses.
Yes.
And 10 of those are selected by the general public by a public popular vote.
Yes.
5 of them are wild cards picked by Racing Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
Last year at about this time, we were getting smashed and Sydney was getting smashed and Brisbane was getting smashed with advertising promotion. This is the greatest thing on earth, bloody blah, blah, blah.
About the All-Star Mile.
Register to vote about the All-Star Mile, yeah.
Yep.
Apparently last year, Racing Victoria paid something like $1.5 million in promotions.
Okay.
For promotion, like Novak with his PR company.
Yes.
They got about 16,000 to Caulfield for the inaugural race.
Mm-hmm.
This year they're expecting 12,000.
Okay.
Betting holds at the moment aren't as high because the voting's only just closed. But there's still a market for it.
Okay. I voted for a mate's dad's horse.
Well, do you know what you've done then?
I probably should have waited to say that.
You can expect to get spammed like nobody's business with emails from Racing Victoria and their partners then, because they came out a couple of weeks ago saying that the crowd's expected to be about 12,000 this time. That's down by about 25%, give or take.
Yep.
Close enough. But they don't care because they have collected the data of about 200,000 people through their voting system for last year and this year combined.
Oh, yeah.
and that includes the details of 114,000 people who did not exist on any other Racing Victoria databases prior to them voting for this race.
Oh, that's good.
So they are happy that there's not going to be any people at the actual race because they now have a huge database of people's information and their age, their interests, all of that, their sex, all of that. So they can now target them in concerted advertising campaigns to get them to come to events, race days, et cetera, et cetera.
I'm okay with that. I have given out my email address to so many different things and all of the spam-a-lam-a-ding-dong that I get, I just don't care. I know that I'm going to get it. I shouldn't have entered that competition to win a $20 JB Hi-Fi voucher after I purchased a ticket to an event through Ticketmaster, but I don't care. It's just an email.
Does it matter that the voting for this esteemed race has now all of a sudden just turned into a giant data mining exercise?
Of course not. That's what everything is.
Is that just the way it is these days?
Yeah. Everyone knows that when you enter a competition,
yeah,
which for all intents and purposes,
you do tick the box at the end to say, saying, I understand your privacy thing.
Yeah.
Which, if you actually read it, said you give us the rights to sell your info, do whatever we want to it. So,
well, if people were reading the terms and conditions and determining their actions based on that, no one would have any Apple products. Like, no one reads those terms and conditions.
No, they're deliberately long and deliberately obscure.
But so if they sell those onto third parties, that's when you start to get your random, a lot of random emails. Yeah. That's how they make money. And again, honestly, for me, I do not care.
Yeah, you might not care. What about the little punter who's, like you said, just gone on to vote for a mate who is in horses and has nothing to do with horses, has no intention of going betting?
Well, they can, when they get the emails, they can just click unsubscribe or they can block that email address.
Yeah, okay.
It's not that big an issue, is it? Am I missing something?
No, I don't know. I just thought it was interesting that they were so upfront about, well, we don't care because we've got all your data.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
We don't care that no one's actually going to show up for the race and that betting volumes are down because we can just spam the shit out of people now with advertising.
Yeah, I certainly don't.
We can sell this database to other advertisers who are interested in similar audiences.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen anyone be as upfront about it.
I wonder if they meant to be. But
yeah,
it's a weird way to promote your race by saying we've got the data of so many people.
Yeah, we don't care if you come or not.
We don't care if you come or not because we've got all your data.
Yeah. AJ, I'm going to finish off.
That reminds me, follow us on Twitter at @ASD_radio.
I'm going to finish my bit. I don't know if you've got to go.
They'll do me. Are you all right? Can you get through something else?
Yeah. This one, there's no... did you know that the Australian cricket team are still playing international cricket at the moment?
Really?
The men's team is playing in South Africa.
Yeah, even more pointless than the Big Bash.
Yeah, like it's... the.
Remember if he... Is it tests?
No, they're going over to play some T20s and some ODIs against South Africa.
God, remember when all the corruption scandal went down?
Oh, hang on.
There was a lot of...
Which corruption scandal?
Oh, there's a few. Hansie Cronje.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
there was a few... There was a lot of talk around meaningless one-day matches being easily corruptible and this, that, and something really must be done. And there's a lot of huffing and rubbling about how there's too much pointless cricket that is ripe for dealing with.
Mm-hmm.
That worked well, didn't it?
Yeah. Isn't it weird that the Australian cricket summer... half of it has been spent in Australia. The other half has been spent in India and South Africa.
Yeah, they haven't played a game in Australia since the Sydney Test.
Mm, so,
which finished on what? The 8th of January or something?
Yeah, did they play one days after that? I don't know. That's how much it's out of the consciousness.
No, they went straight over to India.
Yeah. Well, so the reason why...
Hey, as long as Australia, India and England get to keep all the money, I'm happy.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Cricket can't handle those up-and-comers, upstarts who want to actually achieve things with
cricket.
Damn
you, Zimbabwe. Yeah. So the Australians are going back to the scene of the crime. They're going back to Cape Town to play a T20, the sandpaper. And there's all this talk about, the crowd and how are they going to deal with it. Well, they're professional sports people. They'll deal with it.
No, South African crowds are fairly brutal. As we knew when they all turned out wearing masks of David Warner's wife.
Yeah. But...
Candace.
They'll know that it's all coming and they've just got to go, we can't engage.
Yeah, they're going to say we can't engage and all that, but...
You reckon they're
going
to?
There is going to, like a parent at a youth boxing event, Andrew, there's going to come a point where someone will say something or do something that is just either going to crack, be the straw that broke the camel's back, or it'll be so out of line that something's going to happen, and they can expect that coming.
Yeah,
that'll be coming at them 24/7, not just from the punters, but from the media as well.
All right, you mentioned about the, you know, who cares about the smaller nations as long as India, Australia, and England, yes, which is, well, true. I saw a really cool clip. So the Women's T20 World Cup is commencing on Friday the 21st. Australia and India is the first game. New Zealand played a warm-up game against Thailand. So Thailand are in the tournament as well. After the game, there was some footage shown of the Thailand and New Zealand spin bowlers all sitting in a circle talking to each other, the pace bowlers and the batters just sitting, and it was the New Zealand players just, they were being asked questions and they were sort of giving advice, which I thought was really quite lovely.
Yeah, that's good.
And
that happens a lot more than we know in sport. We assume it's rah rah, screw you, we're going to blah blah, but yeah.
Especially with...
For you say about, you know, for whatever anyone thinks of Shane Warne, he was very open with what he was doing and how he could help other spinners and even batsmen to face what a leg spinner does.
Yeah.
There's lots of examples to that in cricket and football and other sports all over the place.
Mm. But yeah. I just thought that it was...
It was lovely.
Yeah, it was quite nice.
Yeah.
AJ, what would also be quite nice is for us to finish talking and...
That was fun, man. You're going to sleep well
today. Yeah, I know. One thing that we didn't get to talk about, but it's okay because it's a timeless issue and we'll talk about it next week, is your latest article on theraw.com.au about the NRL
and
potentially getting a team in Perth and whether that's got viable and all that. So let's put a pin in that.
No spoilers.
Well, so we'll
actually, talk about... it's been published, so it doesn't matter.
So yeah, we'll talk about that next week. But that means that every Monday you've started your piece, your NRL piece for The Raw.
Yeah, weekly column talking rugby league NRL has moved from Wednesdays to Mondays, so I can set the agenda.
Set the agenda.
Or steal the agenda. I haven't decided yet.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
But that'll be on, yeah, published on Mondays. A couple of other things coming up too that I can't talk about because I haven't done them yet.
Okay, good. Well, excellent. What can you talk about, though?
Break them in the
you
next
can talk
week.
About Monday mornings, 9:15.
Monday mornings, where if you don't get enough of hearing us speak into microphones here, you can hear us live to air. Mm. Andrew, you visit the Triple R Studios in Melbourne.
I do, 7:15 Monday morning, 102.7 FM or via the app. Or if you're really desperate, you can listen on demand.
Well, that's what I do.
Mm.
Yes, who's got time to be up at 7:15 a.m., especially when your breeders have got kids that scream for food at 3 a.m. Anyway, I've said too much.
and then you, AJ, on ABC.
I'm on ABC Central Victoria. That's 91.1 FM on your FM dial, but stream it. Stream it because a lot of people aren't in Central Victoria listening to it. 9:15 a.m. on Monday mornings with part of the Fiona Parker Monday show.
Excellent.
She's great. It's a good segment. Get around it.
Get around it. Get around it.
Get around it.
And what we also want you to get around is the person who doesn't think anyone gets around him enough, Novak Djokovic. Do you like Novak Djokovic? Do you not like Novak Djokovic? Do you not care that he's spent money on a PR company to try and lighten his image? Is there anyone else in sport that you, for some reason, for no reason maybe, just can't... You just don't like them.
Who
you
needs
just...
to hire a PR company to win your heart? Yeah. Which
at
sports?
ASD underscore radio, facebook.com/asportingdiscussion.
Yeah, don't forget the voice bite link will be there too. So leave us an audio message, keep it clean, but remember to tell us who you are as well.
And that, my friends, will do us. AJ, have a lovely week.
You too. You too, everybody.